This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome aboard this Air France message. With Air France, your journey to France begins when you set foot on the plane, starting with a complimentary glass of champagne in every class. And in business and la première, savor a five-course meal with cheese and wine and unique menus created by some of the greatest French chefs. Enjoy a taste of France before you arrive. Bon appétit. Elegance is a journey. Air France.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Joining us right now is the host of SNY's digital NBA show, The Putback. If you follow the Knicks, if you follow the NBA, you know him. Ian Begley on the fan. What's up, Begs?
Keith, how are you, man?
Oh, I'm good, bro. Hanging in there. And, you know, I was fading on the game yesterday a little bit. But there's two thoughts that I want to start with the Knicks before we get into the same questions everybody's asking. One, you know, I put out a theory that, hey, maybe they were just waiting until they got Voltron together, until they got fully back healthy, until they got everybody right, you know, to really give the effort, to really show what they are. Like, I think there's a lot of people that checked out on the Knicks during their stretch of losing to the top teams. But if it's an effort thing, if it's a cohesiveness thing, that can change. What are your thoughts about that? Don't count the Knicks out just yet. Maybe they have another gear that they can turn up to as we get to the end of the season. And more importantly, the playoffs, which are not the regular season. It's a series. It's a different animal.
Look, if they get the OG Anunoby that they got last night in the playoffs, they're going to be a very tough out. I mean, to me, it kind of starts there with the wings. What are you getting from Anunoby? What are you getting from Bridges? You know you're getting points from Brunson. You're getting points from Towns. But if those guys on the wings can be active on both ends, it's a different team. And then you mentioned Mitchell Robinson. If Robinson over these next few weeks kind of gets his sea legs back and he can remain healthy, he's a big difference maker for this team. I think people may forget, just because he's been hurt so often, how good he is on the offensive glass, defending the pick and roll, two areas where the Knicks have struggled this season without him. So, yeah, he changes the dynamic of the group if he's healthy and if he can get into top conditioning here over the final few weeks of the regular season.
Yeah, I mean, OG being a star, OG coming up clutch, obviously the defense, but the scoring is crucial. And it makes me think of something else. Not long before we brought you on, I saw a clip of Kyrie Irving going down. And I don't know what it is yet. I don't know if anybody knows yet. It looks like a knee injury. Terrible luck for the Mavericks. But what I've said is, you know, the Knicks need to pray for health and stay healthy, because every year the top teams, and I know the Mavericks aren't a top team, but every year somebody is hurt. Every year Kyrie went down years ago when it was the Nets. We've seen Kawhi Leonard be hurt. You know, we've seen Embiid be hurt. You know, Giannis be hurt. Like, every year some team doesn't go the distance because they're missing a star player. So I would also say that, you know, if the Knicks stay healthy here, who knows what could happen to the Cavs or the Celtics or whoever. Not wishing injury on anybody, but just trying to, you know, keep hope alive.
It's part of the game, right? But I do think that based on what we've seen so far this year, Keith, a healthy Cleveland or a healthy Boston is just a tier ahead of the Knicks, even with a Mitchell Robinson. And yeah, you said it. Playoff basketball is different. You're seeing the same team between 4 and 7 times, and it becomes a possession-by-possession battle. And I think that could favor the Knicks because they don't play fast, and they when they're at their best, they're not turning it over a lot. They're not making a ton of mistakes. I think that they'd be very, very tough in a playoff series if they're healthy against Boston or Cleveland. But it seems to me, based on the evidence so far, that there's a clear gap between the Celtics and Cavs and then the Knicks and the rest of the East.
Yeah. Right now we're talking to Ian Begley. You just made me think about as well, like the gap, like how do they close the gap? And you know, talking about star players, Mikal Bridges has to be a star. Like he has to be somebody that they can rely on, and it has to be more consistent. It's been a little bit of a letdown, a little bit of a struggle at times, even last night, right? He gets sat down. He ends up being a -5, having 5 points in 28 minutes, going 1 of 6 from three. Like, it's got to be better. And this is going to OT against the Miami Heat team. Like, he's a guy that they gave up 5 first-round picks for. He's got to be better. Brunson can't bail him out, which if you look at this win streak, this little bit of success that they've had here in these close games where they haven't won by more than 5 points, like, mm-hmm. That's Brunson. Brunson is that difference at the end, and I think everybody knows that. What do you think about Mikal Bridges stepping up the rest of the way and, starring as they're going to need him to if they plan on competing with the top teams?
Yeah, Keith, I think you hit it when you talked about the inconsistency so far. I'm not sure if it's comfort with his role. I'm not sure if it's just him getting acclimated to a new locker room, new teammates. You know, we're pretty deep into the season at this point. But we haven't seen consistency from Bridges. He played really well against Memphis and that win in Memphis on Friday. And then he wasn't a factor really. And that Miami game, you mentioned he was benched pretty much for Deuce McBride down the stretch of that game. And for a player who, you invested so much in, and for a player who you projected as to be such a big part of what you wanted to do this season, they do need more from Mikal Bridges. And I've said the same thing about OG Anunoby, and he certainly delivered against Miami. I just think where this thing swings for the Knicks is with those two guys, and maybe it's unfair to them, but that's just kind of the nature of this group. Like, you're going to get offense from Brunson, you're going to get offense from Towns, and they're going to give you, at best, maybe adequacy on defense. So it's up to those two other guys and Josh Hart to kind of shore things up on that end and be respectable on that end. And if you get points from those guys, that's a good, an element there that can go either way for them. But you need it from Bridges, and you need it from a third guy, and it should be Bridges most nights, but it hasn't been consistent for him yet this year.
Yeah, we can't leave out Bodega Cat Karl-Anthony Towns. We can't leave out Karl-Anthony Towns because they made the move for Mikal Bridges, and they had to make the move with Mitchell Robinson not being available and Isaiah Hartenstein leaving to go get Karl-Anthony Towns. He's got a star as well. He's got a ball as well. I know he's had some injuries, and now he's questionable for the game tomorrow night against the Golden State Warriors. And you obviously know, like, Curry's a few days off of dropping 56. And, you just know what to expect coming into the Garden. What are we thinking? I think I read somewhere, I'm going back to my notes, that he might miss the game for personal reasons. What are we thinking about Karl-Anthony Towns and the Knicks tomorrow facing the Warriors?
Yeah, Carl, unclear what that personal issue is. I can't even speculate on whether he might be available or not. But, we know Jimmy Butler is going to be fired up to be in the Garden with his new group. Mm-hmm. They've been very good with Butler in San Francisco so far. He always seems to get up to play in the Garden, play against his old coach, Tom Thibodeau. So they're going to have their hands full tomorrow night. And it to me, they had a fantastic weekend on the road, right? Memphis, Miami. But you want consistency, and you want this thing to carry over. So, you don't want to come out and be non-competitive at home against a Warriors team that's playing pretty well. And it's going to be what it's been for most of the year. To me, again, you're going to get your points from those two guys at the top. And it really depends or swings on what happens with your third, fourth, fifth, sixth guy in this lineup here. And I want to say Miles McBride, he played over Bridges against Miami in the key moments of the game. He's played really well recently. He's been a big factor for this Knick bench, and he played well in the postseason last year. If you can get that from McBride night in and night out, I also think that changes the dynamic of the group, just as a healthy Mitchell Robinson would, as we were discussing earlier.
I'm looking at the standings here, and I'm just, you know, we've had this conversation over and over again about where the Knicks are going to be locked in. They're, 10 games out of first, but there's enough space between the Celtics and the Bucks. Do you expect to see them stay at the three spot, maybe even try and maneuver if things change? I just know where the future takes them if they're in the three spot. They're going to end up having to see, one of these top teams, and it just might not be a year where they get out of the second round again.
Yeah, I don't think, look, there's no avoiding at this point, you know, a Boston or a Cleveland in the second round. To me, you know, things can change, but it seems like they're locked into that third seed essentially. And then forget about the second round. I mean, if you have to play a team like the Detroit Pistons in the first round, that's going to be a tough series. Detroit has played well at Madison Square Garden this year. Cade Cunningham having a fantastic season. So if you do get that first round matchup, don't look past your first round opponent because Detroit's playing really well. But yeah, I don't see them getting up to two. I have a hard time seeing Indiana or a team behind them coming up and catching them. So I think you're looking at that three seed, which is good for them to have home court in the first round. But there's no avoiding one of those top teams in the East in the second round, and that's where we're going to really see what this season, what this group has. And obviously, you don't want to lose in the second round for the third straight year. But to me, I think it matters how you lose. If you're competitive against a Boston or a Cleveland, you make it 6-7 games, tight games, and it's a coin flip here or there. I think you can not be satisfied with that, but walk away with that, you know, looking forward to the next season. But if you get embarrassed in that second round, you know, there's going to be noise from the fans and the media about what needs to change, who needs to go, who needs to stay. They're pretty much locked into this group, barring kind of a nuclear decision, which would be to trade a Bridges or an Anunoby or to change the head coach. And I think that that's where get sticky. If you don't have that good performance in the second round this year and you know there's got to be changes made, that's when there's going to be hard decisions for this Knick group. But we're weeks away from that, right? It's right now, it's still early March. Let them get through the rest of the regular season, then we can have conversations about what may or may not happen in the offseason.
Last thing for you, following your reporting on the Knicks potentially adding a free agent from this pool of free agents for that 15th spot, what do you got and where are you leaning? Who do you think that they might potentially go out and get?
Yeah, look, I think that I said it earlier, but if I'm them, I would take a long, hard look at PJ Tucker. And I know people maybe look at what Tucker is right now and can provide on the court and they dismiss it. But I just think kind of being around the NBA for a little bit, that Tucker is a guy who can really help the Knicks in the locker room in terms of a veteran who's won in this league, who's not afraid to say what's on his mind and not afraid to take a big role in terms of leadership in that locker room. I think the Knicks could benefit from that. So I wouldn't be surprised if they went the vet route. Obviously, there's a need at center with Ariel Helfrich out, but I think that there's a world where Precious Achiuwa can fill that role as the backup five and you know, Mitchell Robinson, maybe he can't play. Second game of back-to-backs, then Achiuwa's your guy. So I think that the vet is a possibility there. If they decide to go center, Moses Brown could also do TJ Warren, a solid veteran who's played well for them in the G League. But I just keep going back to a vet like PJ Tucker and the impact that he could have on a group that hasn't been tightly together for most of this season. I mean, the record has been fantastic, but there's been something missing there in the locker room, and I just think Tucker could fill that void.
Yeah, absolutely, especially with people questioning the toughness, the attitude. He's one of those guys that could, you know, definitely.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapper jacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 15-year veteran and three-time champion, subscribe to my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week where we take you through the ins and outs of the association's top storylines, as well as breaking news and so much more. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring that to the Knicks. Ian, you're the man. Thanks for joining us tonight. We appreciate it.
Hey, Keith. Always happy to join you, my friend. Have a great night.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Swung on. There it goes. Deep left. It is high. It is far. It is gone. Number 62 to set the new American League record.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
Hello. Let's get back to the show. 888-808-1019 is the number to dial if you want to get on. You'll probably get on if you call now. Keith McPherson on The Fan, taking calls on sports. I opened up the show tonight talking about Luis Gil's injury and just the state of the Yankees in spring training. And I know it's spring training. I'm one that like doesn't watch every single pitch of spring training. I'm one that doesn't look at the numbers in spring training, because I know it doesn't matter. I know it doesn't mean anything. It means something to George Lombard Jr. And even though I see somebody in the chat asking if George Lombard Jr. was going to make the team, shout out to Mike Stroh, who says, what's up, Keith? Lombard's looking like a beast. Is there any chance at all he ends up in the infield this season? Maybe a September call-up. But, like, I don't care about, like, Carlos Rodon's ERA. I don't care about, you know, Marcus Stroman's ERA. I don't care about even some of the, like, yeah, like I don't know, Alex Jackson hit a home run and some other guys hit home runs. Like, sometimes they're facing bums. They're facing guys that are literally going to be DFA'd or cut or whatever. It's just good to get reps. But when I opened up the show tonight, I was talking about how this Yankees comeback story is unfolding before us, and they'll have a tougher road in 2025. I already see it. Let the hype die down. I'm good with the hype dying down. Don't believe the hype. I think they're going to be good. I think they're going to win. I think, sure, could they win the World Series? Absolutely. That's on the table still. But when you look at all the moves that they made to still have this many holes on March 3rd, it is concerning. 888-808-1019. DJ LeMahieu, which, I mean, he's a non-factor. But, like, the Yankees factoring him in is the factor. Like, the fact that the Yankees said he was going to be competing and he'd be healthy. Well, now he's not healthy. DJ is a non-factor, but Stanton is a huge factor. Stanton with 429 career home runs. Stanton still with millions of dollars to collect from the Yankees. I don't think he's retiring. I think the guy is just hurt, and I'm minding my business on what else he's tending to. But, like, if you're the Yankees, how do you not have this guy that I said he's immune to my criticism after what he did? He was the ALCS MVP. How do you not make a move knowing you lose that guy's bat, and there's a bunch of other question marks? The older guys, the veterans, you're expecting them to turn back the clock, and the younger guys, you're expecting them to take a step forward. It's just there's a lot of variables. This is a new team. They're going to be expected to gel right away. They're going to be expected to come out and win right away. And they can't afford a slow April, a June swoon, a September collapse. 888-808-1019. We'll talk about all of that still as Luis Hill is shut down. And I don't know when he's coming back. I saw Brian Hoke said Luis Hill's injury. Clark Schmidt had a similar strain last May 26th. And he didn't pitch in the majors until September 7th. I know they took their time. But exactly, like, who knows? Who knows when he's going to come back? And all the talk around Stroman, now you need Stroman to pitch. All the talk around the rotation being one of the best in baseball, I don't know if we could say that right now. The bullpen, I think, is the strength. The lineup has some holes in it. 888-808-1019. Continue talking about the Yankees, and then I'll sprinkle in some more stuff. With the Giants and the Jets, Moose in Jamaica, back on the Fan, always.
Yo, you're what up, Keith? What it do?
You're what up, man?
So I got a little cheesy, corny joke for you, right? You notice how some of the Yankee players in spring training got beers already, right? And some that may or may have not complained or whatever, they don't have beards. I'm telling you, watch this, Keith. If a player has a beard and they're struggling, they'll shave it. And if a player doesn't have a beard and they're struggling, they'll grow one.
Oh, yeah.
This has happened throughout baseball history since the inception of that luck changing because they're all superstitious and stuff like that. I'm telling you, that's going to happen.
Yeah.
I was in class, like, low-key trying to watch the spring training game and also pay attention, but I had to cut it off because class was kind of getting serious in terms of teaching a new topic. But if I'm not mistaken, the best thing about Max Fried is that he's a kitchen sink pitcher and he's a ground ball pitcher. So like that's going to factor in to the way the team's identity is going to be when he pitches.
Defense.
How defense is going to be important.
Yeah.
And even more so, you notice how Bellinger is low-key trying to recapture that 2019 or 2017 form with the way he's trying. I don't know if he's gotten to an off-season regimen once he found out he got traded to the Yankees, but I see a lot of positives from kind of obvious sources of production offensively and non-obvious sources like maybe a Volpe or a Wells or a Dominguez once he clearly irons out the reps in left field and when he gets to the bright lights on a, let's say, Thursday night against a top five AL opponent and a good pitcher on the mound.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Moose. Going back to the facial hair policy, that's one of the first things I said. You know, baseball players are the most superstitious, and now this gives them the option to shave, to grow their beard out as something else. But then also, I know what comes with all of this. If these Yankees fail, there are going to be some people that say it's because they removed the beard policy. You can count on it. The first year that they're allowed to grow beards, what is this? 5-game losing streak? They do that all the time. Yeah, but this one is because they ruined tradition. 888-808-1019. Someone might call now and be like, I already had that thought. When they fail, it's because of the beards. Or when they lose a bunch of games and they're not playing New York after, there are going to be people to say, see, what's the difference? They're losing. Maybe they should go back to playing it. And I'm going to say, no, no, no. Not if you be at that stadium. Not if you're at the stadium as much as I've been over the years, these last 10 years. I'd rather you play nothing or play That's Life. So I know those things are going to come up. And then as you talk about Cody Bellinger, he's looked good in the spring. And he's playing. That swing, I can't wait to see that swing. But it's spring training, bro. Who's to say that he doesn't struggle adjusting to the Bronx, to New York? And I don't know. I hope not. Need him. Paul Goldschmidt as well. I like watching his at-bats. I'm still processing. This is Paul Goldschmidt in a Yankee uniform. Because I've seen Paul Goldschmidt be MVP, all-star. I've seen him be one of the best hitters in the league. Can he be that for the Yankees? I sure hope so. But then when you talk about guys like Volpe and Wells and Dominguez, they are young guys, 25 and under, that are expected to play every day and be pluses. They can't be negatives. They are needed. And there's just a lot to be seen, man. That's why we care. That's why this radio station is on 24/7, and somebody every hour is going to mention the New York Yankees. That's why their ratings are always up. That's why, you know, we're paying attention. They have a ton of fans, and I don't care what anybody tells you about Yankee fans being smart or not. They have a ton of smart fans that are locked in on every single thing, and that maybe sometimes leads to overthinking and over-criticizing. Fingers crossed, hoping for the best here as we go into another baseball season. 888-808-1019. Fingers crossed here for the Jets and Giants. It would be nice if they both drafted a quarterback. It would be nice if they finesse somehow and hit. If the Jets, imagine the Jets can draft Cam Ward after trading up for the number one pick. And maybe the Giants do take Shedeur Sanders and they say, to hell with what that quarterback coach said, and we like that confidence. You're going to need supreme confidence coming into this situation. You want to talk about changing the culture? The Giants need a culture change. Come on down, Shedeur. Imagine they hit in the first three picks. I don't know. Maybe. Maybe not. You got something, Paul, or you just...
Yeah, so real quick, and this came over about 20 minutes ago, Sam Darnold is unlikely to be tagged tomorrow, so that will lead the way to free agency. There's apparently Minnesota is still interested in re-signing Darnold, but it won't be without the tag because they want to re-sign so many guys that if they gave him the tag, that would make it a very difficult for them to do so.
Understood. We all saw T. Higgins get tagged today. He tweeted out so much himself. He just tweeted out T-A-G. They have to run Ja'Marr Chase the most money in the NFL for a non-quarterback. After the triple crown season that he just had, after betting on himself, they have to pay that man a lot of money. So they got to get that situated first. But Joe Burrow, pitch in. Figure it out. Make sure that your two top receivers can stay there. But, yeah, Sam Darnold, who we talked about a lot tonight. Hey, how come people aren't mentioning Sam Darnold? I don't think the Jets are Giants. I don't think he would. One, let's start with him. He gets to choose, right? This is where you get to choose. He's not getting drafted. He's not getting traded here. He's a free agent choosing where he wants to take the money and play the next, I don't know, 3 to 4 years of his career. Why would he go back to East Rutherford? Why would he go back to the Jets? And why would he go to the Giants?
Yeah, I don't think he has the guts to come back here.
It's not a guts thing.
Sure, I don't think it's
smart business.
I don't think he has the guts.
It'd be terrible.
Honestly,
even though you take less money, like Stafford took less money than
he should take whatever the Vikings offer him, because the only place he has had success is with Kevin O'Connell and Minnesota, and that success is minimal because he pooped out the bed the biggest games of the season for the Vikings. But he should take whatever they offer him and stay in Minnesota. Stay there, see what you can do. You're flourishing under Kevin O'Connell. Him going anywhere else will be a massive disaster. I'm convinced.
What about J.J. McCarthy? You think J.J. McCarthy, he holds him off in the next 3 years, four years?
I think the J.J. McCarthy argument and the topic is interesting. Like, do they flip him for, like, a third or a second? Do you kind of have him learn under Darnold? How much has that ACL injury really impacted him? Only really they know that, and their doctors and their analytics department and their football people know, wait a minute, like, how much has this actually affected this kid? So, but the McCarthy thing is really interesting, because would a team offer, like, a three for him? And would the Vikings even accept that?
I think he's still a ways away in his rehab. I think he needs to bulk up. I think he needs to put on a little bit more muscle and weight. I don't think J.J. McCarthy is that much of a factor. I think the Vikings being crafty, though, they might check on Aaron Rodgers. They might want to keep I'll say this before we get back to the calls at 888-888-888, you know the number. Like, that video of the Vikings celebrating after they beat the Packers, where he comes in and he's man of the hour and they're throwing the water on him. Like, that team, the way that they folded at the end of the year, you kind of need that guy back. You kind of need to pay him and bring that guy back. Unless you really think you can go out there and draft or sign someone else because of Kevin O'Connell being able to make it work with Josh Dobbs or, you know, make it work with whoever. I think there's something to be said about how that team, like, really loved Sam Darnold this year. You could tell, like, he was a locker room guy. You could tell they rallied around him. And I think losing him would be to their detriment. So I think they're going to be players for him. But he is a Cali kid. And, I mean, I saw him talking to Tom Brady after one of the games. There might be a lean there. There might be a lean for him to go to Vegas, closer to home, and they're also in a dome. I think he needs to be in a dome. He's not an elements guy. He's not a weather guy. And he definitely needs an offensive line. They need to fix both those offensive lines. 888-808-1019. Mark is out in California on the Fan in New York.
What's going on, Keith?
What's up?
I'm just going to talk like Nick Giants, but obviously on the Yankees a little bit because I have a little interesting take on this. Like, listen, they shaved the beards, right? And so that was a tradition for so many years, right? Like, for one of the biggest traditions in sports. Why don't you go out and spend like the old Yankees? Because that was also a tradition that the Yankees had the highest payroll every year.
Correct.
And it was a given fact that nobody in baseball would beat them. Now, Hal has turned soft, bro. And what bugs me the most is they supposedly have the best health and fitness guru in the building. The best. And once again, Stanton and DJ hurt, as well as a litany of injuries on pitching staff, right? You knew Stanton couldn't swing a bat for a month, but made no effort to acquire anyone, needing a good third baseman, then saying Bregman's swing isn't tailored to Yankee Stadium, like he's going to come here and be Joey Gallo, right? He was the best available player, and you let him go to the Red Sox, bro. So, to me, in my opinion, this year is going to be awful. I mean, it's gonna be
how many wins?
And listen, if you get 12-60 from Anthony Volpe, good luck. That's not gonna get it done, right? They just don't got holes, Keith. They got like craters, bro. It's
how many wins?
Craters.
How many wins do you think the Yankees are gonna have this year? Less than 90?
You know what? I'm teetering right now on like maybe 85-90. But listen, I don't even think it's going to get done because, in my opinion, I think Red Sox are winning the division. I mean, their team. And remember, last year, they had an amazing offense. They just had a horrible pitching staff. And then they revamped their pitching staff, revamped their bullpen.
Beginning of the year, they had some guys that were getting all-star consideration. Thanks for the call, Mark. I don't think it's that bad. Like, I do always kind of go back to Aaron Judge exists. And if Aaron Judge just exists as we've seen Aaron Judge exist in the regular season, like, he is the offense, he is the system, and then guys around him are going to hit, and guys around him are going to get pitches to hit, I don't think it's that bad. I don't think they're craters either. I just think that there are question marks, and with question marks, you can get the good, you can get the bad, but I don't think they're craters. And I think Volpe's going to have a better year than that. I think he's going to be better at the plate right away. He's just had so many more reps and time, and he's here. I did see him drop a pop-up in the spring training game, too, going to center field. I'm like, no. I'm like, just for the narrative. I'm sure if you search Twitter right now, somebody's talking about, oh, my God, Volpe dropped the pop-up in center field. Why do we drop pop-ups? But you said something about Hal that I disagree with as well. Hal's gone soft. No, he took a hard stance on, I don't think it correlates for me to keep spending money. I don't think spending more money, will make me have a good team. I disagreed because I look at the Dodgers as the example with how much they spent last offseason, won the World Series, and came out and spent again. But they're playing chess while everybody else is playing checkers. They can never have this roster if they didn't have all this money deferred. We're definitely locking out. I think I had in my notes something that I clipped, and I'll play this now, or I'll not even play it now. I'll just read it now. From Dugout Report, MLB lockout fully expected to take place after 2026, says Players Union head. An MLB lockout is all but certain to take place after the 2026 season. MLB Players Association Executive Director Tony Clark seemed to confirm this with his latest comments on the situation. Pointing to the league itself, Clark said, unless I am mistaken, the league has come out and said there's going to be a work stoppage. So I don't think I'm speaking out of school in that regard. Rob Manfred recently called a lockout actually a positive, but has since toned down the lockout talks. The current collective bargaining agreement expires December 2026, and many are speculating that teams management of contracts and payroll, and maybe even a salary cap or floor will be discussed in negotiations. So you know what I'm doing? You know what I'm doing? I'm expanding my horizon. I've broadened my horizons. You already know I went to the NHL. Shout out to the Devils for bringing me in. All right, the Devils don't get it done. I'm in the MLS now. You're listening to the new voice of the New York Red Bulls. I'm watching the New York Red Bulls beat Nashville, whatever the hell their team is called.
Not NYCFC?
No. Two reasons why.
I think it's New York, New Jersey Red Bulls, by the way.
They're in Harrison. That's only a couple stops away from me on the PATH train. Two reasons why I can't rock with NYCFC. I went to opening day 2017 after they started playing in Yankee Stadium, and I was disgusted. I sat up there in the 400 level where I could afford an opening day ticket. With my Binox on, I'm like, why is there an 18 on the grass? Why is the outfield grass in Yankee Stadium on opening day tainted by MLS soccer? What goes on here? How did they not fix this? I can't get jiggy with this. They should stop. And then some of the homies, some of the creatures even, shout out to Gabe if Gabe is listening. I know a lot of them go to see NYCFC play in Yankee Stadium. I've never even watched it because I don't want to see the stadium like that. I've watched the football games, the Pinstripe Bowl. I don't want to see the NYCFC play in Yankee Stadium. And next, they're building a stadium for them in Queens. So you know I can't get jiggy with what they do out there in Queens.
I knew you were going to say that much. If if the lockout actually does happen, wouldn't that mean that these owners should probably go spend like crazy? Because they know. They know what's going to come down the line in 2 or 3 years. If they know they're going to get locked out, and if they know there might not be baseball for X amount of time, wouldn't you want to just go a little bit more crazy now, see if you can get everything in?
You don't see the writing on the wall? The Dodgers.
Well, they're not.
Are trying to three-peat and then lock it down.
No, I understand that, but they're also not doing anything against the rules. They're, like you said, they're playing chess. So they're not doing anything wrong. They just have the guts to actually spend a lot of money when other teams don't want to do that. Even though
Major League Baseball
just gave $800 million to Juan Soto.
Well, then I got to go back to the notes, but I had a stat about how all the spending is being done by the Dodgers, the Mets, and the Yankees. The rest of baseball, they're like the Dave Chappelle meme. The Dave Chappelle meme gift where he's holding the money. Like, baseball made more money than ever. As I say, the Yankees made more money than ever going to a World Series for the first time in 15 years, playing all the way through October. Major League Baseball just made the most money they ever made. I think they cracked $12 billion.
Right now I'm looking at least 2025 spot rack. Dodgers, Mets are 1 and 2. Phillies, Yankees are 3-4. And the Blue Jays, Rangers, Astros, and the Braves, that's the top eight. They all have payrolls over $200 million.
Yeah, MLB reports record $12.1 billion in revenues for 2024 season. The league is incredibly healthy right now, and revenues have gone up more than 33% in the last decade. So anyone telling you baseball is dying, that's why how many times I've been on here, I'm like, no, it's not. What are you talking about? Look at the attendance.
Right.
Look at the amount of us like watching these games, going to these games, talking about these, maybe in certain markets, but overall.
Well, yeah, when you look at Miami as a $47 million payroll. So which
Juan Soto is making more money. I talked about that too. Juan Soto's going to face a team, and it's a guarantee that the Mets lose the series to the Marlins. He's going to face a team where his AAV is higher than the entire roster.
It's crazy. And the Athletics at $55 million, and the White Sox at $58 million. Baseball is healthy, but is it? But does that matter if the players don't think they're getting enough of their share? Which is what all this comes down to is always money, and it's always.
But that's why you haven't heard a bad word about Soto's deal. When they ask the players, they might say, yeah, he took the most money, but not one of them is going to say, because it's good for the next crop of players. It's good for everybody,
really. Every young outfielder loves Juan Soto. Every young player should love Juan Soto. Yankees fans, I get why you guys don't love it, but in theory, from a player perspective, George Lombard Jr. should send Soto a steak dinner already, because he's going to make so much money because of what Soto is doing.
Yeah, different positions. But I did see a stupid post that I also commented on. They said Ellie De La Cruz is going to get $1 billion. No, he's not. And because like when he hits free agency, he's going to, like, Soto is 26. When he hits free agency, he'll be 27. I would assume that the Reds try and pull a Bobby Witt Jr. with him and give him a long-term deal and lock him up.
You would think. And by the way, I think he is going to get around...
Not a billion.
No, not a billion, but he's going to get more than Aaron Judge.
Just because...
Which is crazy.
He's also a shortstop.
Which is crazy.
He's got some holes in his game, but he is a freak. I'll never forget when the Reds came here watching him. I was right behind home plate. Shout out to WFAN for the good seats. I knew this guy was going to kill. I was mad that I didn't bet it. The triple that he legged out, the home run that he hit into the visitor's dugout, I was like, this guy is an alien. But he's not going to make a bill. Like, you know, Bobby Witt Jr.'s contract, I think he's got around like 340. I don't know when we're going to get to a billion-dollar player. It's going to be a long time from now. 888-808-1019. But anyway, the message here is Major League Baseball is heading for a lockout. They're healthy, though. Not everyone's spending. Scott Boras was talking about that. Major League Baseball had a 33% increase in the last decade. A decade ago, I was in the MLB fan cave, and the whole pitch of the MLB fan cave was make baseball cool again. You know, these eight fans are social media mavens. These eight fans are cool fans. These eight fans watch all 2,430 regular season Major League Baseball games live from the MLB fan cave. Come check it out. And, I don't think we need a fan cave anymore. Like, we were the last class, but that whole activation was to get more baseball fans online. And, like, look at all the podcasts and all the YouTube channels and all the TikTok creators and all the things that have just naturally happened. Baseball is alive and well. Let me take another call before we break here. 888-808-1019. Nate is up in the Bronx. What's up, Nate?
What's up? I was wondering about, do you regret the Mikal Bridges trade from a Knicks standpoint?
I am a Nets fan. I loved it. That trade happened after the Mets beat the Yankees in Citi Field. I left Citi Field at like the sixth or seventh inning. I drove back here. When I parked my car, I was looking at my phone, and that deal came through, and I said, oh my, yo, fleeced him. No way. Sean Marks didn't make the deal with anyone else. He let it be the Knicks. This is incredible.
Also, if there are any holes in the Yankees, what do you think they are, and how do you think they should replace them?
If there's any holes on the Yankees, well, they have a hole in their rotation. They're going to be relying on Marcus Stroman, who they basically said they don't want anymore. He didn't pitch for months last year, and they were supposed to trade him, and now he gets slotted into that rotation. That's a hole. There's a hole, two holes in the lineup, maybe three. Your DH can't swing. He's done. He's on the IL. So who's your DH? You're going to have a revolving door of DH? All right. And third base, one third of your options. He's got a calf injury. He's already cooked. He's out. Now you're going to look at two guys between Cabrera and Peraza to be your starting third baseman. Neither one of them excite me. I would lean Cabrera because he's done it before, but I would rather it be Peraza just because he's out of options, and now it's now or never. He was a top prospect. Also out in left field, you know, it's not so much a hole in the lineup, but it's a hole in left field. Like, I don't know if Dominguez is going to be able to play at even an average level right now based off of what we saw at the end of last year and early in spring training. I hope so, but, like, hope we continues. Hope, hope, hope. I get the hope is not a strategy.
What do you think about the Mets' chances to make the playoffs?
The Mets' chances to make the Nets. I think in typical Nets fashion, they got hot. They won like 6 out of 7 games. They made us believe. And I was like, yeah, the tank has been over for a month. Like, it got hot like a month ago. And I think all in all, what they're going to do is screw themselves out of getting a top pick and getting one of those top three players. But then they're going to come up just short from making the play-in. They're going to be the 11th seed, and it's just going to be another wasted year as a Nets fan.
All right, thank you for taking my call. Have a good day.
Nate, thank you. The day is almost ending here. I've got about an hour. 888-808-1019. We got a break here, or we can get it cool so I can get these calls in before we get to the break and the update. Bruce is in Flushing. Bruce, you're back on the Fan.
Hey, Keith. Couple baseball points and a giant football point. First, you know, one of the things that we have to watch out about the future of baseball, especially with the lockout talk, is how much is the ESPN contract that they did not, they not renew is going to hurt baseball. Are they going to get another network or streaming service to replace that billion-dollar contract? I don't know.
Somebody's going to come in. I think that's actually going to be better for Major League Baseball. And I understand we heard what happened with Bally's and obviously the RSNs. I think a shift is needed here. Major League Baseball just needs to go ahead and own their own and do their own thing. And also, like, there's so many other players in the streaming world that want to get involved, like Amazon, like Netflix, Peacock. Like, we're watching games. There's Roku games, you know, these last 2 years. And this year again, Apple TV Plus. I think it's going to be better that they move away from ESPN. But we'll see how it unfolds. It's up to them to make the right moves.
On the Yankees, Yankee fans, calm down. It's going to be fine. Yes, there's injuries and there's, you know, things to overcome. But the Yankees are still going to win between 90 and 95 games. They can definitely live with Cabrera or Peraza at third base. I think, to me, something very interesting tonight is you saw Bellinger in left field for the first time, I believe, this year.
Mm.
And is that the Yankees saying to themselves, we're going to have to make the switch? Or was it just playing left field?
I get way too much credit for, you know, the Yankees listening to my show. I get way too much credit for having some kind of influence. Is it influence or coincidence? I was told there's no such thing as coincidence. I've been screaming, let me see something. Just let me see something. Cody Bellinger said play him anywhere. Then, like, just let me see him in left field. And when Trent Grisham comes back, okay, he came back tonight. I said, let me see him in left field. We didn't see him there yet. We saw him in center field. But if we see Trent Grisham in left field, that tells you the Yankees don't need to be stuck on Dominguez has to learn left field. He's our left fielder. I'm waiting for the next thing, too. Put him in center field. Let me see the kid play center field. Maybe he gets some confidence back. And I saw him play in left field Sunday. He was fine. But, like, don't be stuck on the idea that this kid has to change positions and learn the position by opening day. You have two veteran outfielders that have actually played Major League Baseball games in left field. They could do it.
My prediction is by opening day, you will see Dominguez in center field. Last point, if I'm the Giants, what I would do during free agency, because they probably want to start with a veteran quarterback, whichever quarterback they draft, that to me, the most logical candidate would be Fields, because he fits Dable's offense to a T. A guy who could run, a guy who can scramble in the pocket, and a guy who has enough experience that can run, you know, the regular offense, like throwing the ball. So he can defeat you with the arm and with the legs. Well, somebody like Rodgers, I mean, behind the giant offensive line, he will get killed. So I think Fields would be the smart choice for the Giants.
Thanks for the call, Bruce. I'll say this before we break here, 888-808-1019. I'm running out of time. With Fields, if you go after him and he's a project and everybody keeps raving about his age, okay, if you go after a 26-year-old kid that is still not NFL ready, is still a project, and doesn't take a step forward under Brian Dable, and you lose a bunch of games, that was a waste of time. And then also, if he is not able to, which I wouldn't expect him to be able to, he can't. What can he mentor a rookie quarterback? They have to draft a rookie quarterback. There needs to be a rookie quarterback in that room this year. They've passed all these other years. And that's another thing with Shedeur Sanders that worries me. If Shedeur Sanders is the quarterback that you choose to take after passing on Bo Nix, after passing on Michael Penix Jr., right? And even going back the years before not drafting a quarterback, if it's Shedeur Sanders and he busts and he's – pause. If it's Shedeur Sanders and he is a bust and he's not the guy and these guys shouldn't even be the guys making the decision because how compounded it is. It makes it way too difficult to get right. Yeah, in theory, Justin Fields can come in here and have those design runs and throw the ball downfield to Malik Nabers. But if you lose games, you're fired. And you can't have Justin Fields as the veteran quarterback that you choose to bring into that room while you're drafting a young quarterback because you know, didn't take a swing on that all of these years. They have to get someone better than Justin Fields. Maybe the Jets bring Justin Fields in to compete with Tyrod Taylor, but I feel like he's not really the best option for the Giants unless they get three quarterbacks, get Aaron Rodgers, get Justin Fields, and draft whoever it is. 888-808-1019. 1 hour left. Open mic when we come back. Keith McPherson on the Fan. BRB.